Welcome to our service this morning. There's a few notices probably, and I've only got one down, and that is that there's a church meeting on Thursday night at 8 a.m. You are listening, that's all right. At 8 p.m. in room one. And all are welcome to that as we talk and share together. Any other notices? Have I missed some?
Jenny talked about that. Next Sunday, I'm going up to London. I'm doing the London Marathon. Ooh. And
You've thought about it though.
I'm resting there, so I'm hoping to raise money for Brighter Futures, which is to get a radiotherapy unit built at Swindon Hospital, because at the moment people have to travel all the way to Oxford for treatment. So I'd like people to sponsor me. If you'd like to sponsor me, that'd be great. Thank you.
Form a disorderly queue afterwards and write big numbers on the sponsorship. Any other notices? No. Well, 11 days ago, 14 people travelled west from Swindon to explore the wilds of North Somerset. Well, actually, they left here and went to Spring Harvest at Minehead. For those who don't know, Spring Harvest is a Christian festival that takes place each year round about the Easter time over a number of what they call weeks. Weeks are redefined to four or five nights between them. With teaching, with worship, with all sorts of things. And it's a great time. I'm pleased to tell you that 13 out of the 14 safely made it back to Swindon. Oh, the other one was Imogen, who went straight on to Falmouth for the last term of a year at uni. First year at uni. And this morning we're going to attempt to give you a bit of a picture of a bit of a flavour, if you like, of that event as it impacted us in different ways. But before we do that, let's worship God together as we sing, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." Together we can change the world. Game changers was the theme. We looked at the life of Moses, or various episodes from the life of Moses, and we looked at the calling of the disciples and the sending out of those disciples. So our daily themes had different words. Beginning with E, we had encounter. Moses' encounter with God, the disciples' encounter with Jesus. Talked about enlist. We talked about everyone being involved. We talked about equipping the people and empowering them. Lots of stories, lots of examples, lots of challenge to live as people who change what's about us in the world, who bring in God's kingdom. So before we call somebody else up to talk, let's just pray, shall we? Remembering that God will use what we bring. Almighty God, wonderful God, we've come today in order that we might encounter you in our worship as we think about you. We recognise that you're great and mighty, and sometimes we feel as though we're insignificant. And our thoughts echo the psalmist's words, "What am I that you are mindful of me?" But we come to you knowing that you, mighty as you are interested in the smallest detail of our lives. You know us through and through. And yet you love us. Love us individually, love us as a group of your people. Wow, what a mighty God you are. So as we come to worship, we come in the confidence that you will use our contributions, and we come asking too that you will empower us as we encounter you together. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we started with encounter and in a list. And we thought it'd be good to get Imogen to talk to us. So by the wonders of modern technology, hopefully.
Okay, so Imogen, it's brilliant having you with us. Young blood with us, it's amazing to see. And I'm just wondering what you've enjoyed about it. Well, it's been really lovely being together, living together. Which is good because we're more like a family. My favourite thing that I've enjoyed is the big start in the morning with the pirates. So it's like an all age service. Yeah, there are pirates who sketches and stuff and they're very funny. So I hope you're doing that with you. Can you remember the names of the folk who are heading that up?
This was live and unrehearsed.
So there's Bob Hartman, but there's the Salt Mines Theatre Company thing. They've been doing other stuff this week, which I've seen a lot of.
You said you like Salt Mines stuff.
I do.
So, tell us about Salt Mines. Some people might not even know what Salt
Mines is. I don't know much. I just know they do theatre things. I know they've been doing a tour around university of interpretation of John's Gospel, and I went to go see that the other evening, and that was really good. But other than that, I don't really know this company. They've been doing lots of they've been doing sketches in the evening services that they've been pretending to be pirates in the morning.
Anything else that's struck you particularly that you'll remember?
I didn't come up with that joke, was that? it's just so much because there's lots of reasons that seems like it's so amazing because, you know, you're surrounded by lots of other Christians, which is great, but there's also definitely the teaching and stuff. But I haven't gone to a lot of the seminars. The big sessions that they meet have been pretty good because, some people kind of have made comments about, being stuff that you've heard loads and loads of times. But you can never be reminded too many times about God's love. And for me particularly, there's been a lot, today we were talking about putting your trust in God, and I found that very difficult recently with my house. So I've been trying to get, and I still haven't got to it, and I've been getting messages from my future housemates about worries about it. It's something that I've struggled so much recently about, you know, where am I going to live next year, and there's been so much. It's just really good to be reminded. It's strange because it's things you've heard so many times before. Every now and then, it's like you're being hit by a bus or something. You kind of just remember. I talked too long. it's just amazing. And the quality of the teaching here is amazing. The speakers and the worship is great.
So it would be good for you to trust God about your house, but it would be good about your prayer. Okay, thank you.
We were hoping at this point Lucy would be able to bring the children up and introduce them, but she's not well. She was ill last night. So Simon, it's up to you to try and get them to talk. Can we have the light back on? Can we ask you what you enjoyed?
No.
No? Simon, just tell them.
I'll try.
So you try what? Tell us.
This is me, part one, because you'll hear me again later, and it'll be about as well prepared as this is. So the kids had a great time. I think, well, when we asked Daniel immediately after going to Spring Harvest what the best it was, he said going swimming, and he said diving in the water. So perhaps not quite as spiritual as it could be, but he is only five. I think, but they did really enjoy their group. So Sophie went for an hour in the morning, and Daniel had a 3-hour group in the morning, which he absolutely loved. And I think what he would probably say he liked most about his group was what he called the... What's that tree called, Daniel? The Wibbly Wobbly tree? I can't really call it. Anyway, they had a tree that they put money in, and it kind of went down a little... It was like a collection thing to make it interesting for them to give. So they put money in, and it kind of went down the little wavy path down into the bucket. And I think that was he. So he really liked that, and we almost forgot to put money in, so we had to go back at the end with some money to put in for him to do that. But I think what was really good was, and probably one of the things he took away without necessarily realising it, was they obviously spent a bit of time talking to the children about why they were doing that, why we give money, etc. And they were raising money for refugees, and some of the things he came away with. Oh, sorry, I get a bit emotional about it. I don't quite know why. One of the things he came away with is just like the simple kind of messages that they give, that the children give, is just so powerful. Like, just said things like, we're giving money to people because it's not safe for them to go home. sorry, excuse me.
Don't worry about it.
And he said, you know, they live in a shed. Just really, like, the way they describe it, just so matter of fact. And yet, I think we really forget just how different it is for people. Just how easy we have it. Just how, just a simple statement, like, we're giving them money because they can't go home. It's not safe for them there. It's just like, he just kind of sees it as it is. And, I don't know. So I think he really took that away without necessarily really realising it. And ever since we've come back, we've always wanted to do... We've heard where you can give pocket money, which is you have three piggy banks for your child, one for saving, so they save for like a big toy, one for spending, so go and buy some sweets, and one for giving away. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit with Daniel before, but we've never quite got it into action. But ever since we got back, every time he's found a coin at home, he's been like, I'm going to put this in my giving one, I really want to give it away, I really want to help people. So I think that's really helped him to really think about like others and like what we can do for them.
Thank you. Never too old to learn, never too young to learn either. Never too young to learn of God's love and to share it. That's brilliant. And you shouldn't be embarrassed about feeling emotional, because these things do hit our emotions, especially when our children bring them back to us and tell us about them. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing a song that we've known for a long time. Our God is a great big God. So kids, you really need to join in with this. That's kids of all ages up to 99.
Why should 99 be there?
Only because I can't count beyond that. One of the things that I found strangest at Spring Harvest, having been ill with flu for 3 weeks before we went, was standing there in worship and not being able to sing. Really, really strange. So if you see me not singing, you know it's because the throat's still not properly and Anne's still coughing away madly. We both had it for 3-4 weeks now, and we're coming out the end, but it keeps coming back. Encounter. Steve, come and talk to us about your experience of Spring Harvest. Don't trip over the railway tracks. You go that side by that microphone, I'll
this one over here.
Yeah. Here.
It's a shame, isn't it?
What did you enjoy at Spring Harvest?
I don't know.
What did you go to at Spring Harvest? Tell us about one of the sessions you went to.
One of the sessions was a photography session where we, well, we got sent out take some photos of what we thought was involved the five words that were listed.
So this was led by a guy who
came with me.
Yeah, I went too. That's why I'm prompting you.
Thank you.
Led by a guy who works for Spring Harvest, and he encouraged us to think about those key words, enlist, encourage, and so on and so on. And go out and take one photo. I think most of us cheated and took more than one that would represent it. So tell us about this one.
This one was I'm not sure how high this was, 40 feet, 50 feet?
You'll get a clue in, right?
A bit high, maybe. A child on a safe rope trying to get across to the other side. They've gone quite a long way round because they've gone over the zigzaggy steps at the top, over the rope, and then got stuck at this point. But he just could not move to keep going. And then was helped with one of the safety people to get across.
We need other people sometimes. And different people took different photos and so on.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to share?
I might have taken a few other photos.
You might have taken a few other photos.
All right, I took 750 something.
He was getting up really early to go and take sunrise, because this time of year is quite early, and sunset as well. Which is this?
This is sunrise at 6:10. I was there at 5:30.
I get really confused when you're on a northerly facing coast. So sunrise and sunset are the wrong way round for me. West should always, or east should always be off to my left on the coast. I grew up on near the south coast, and sunset should be right, so I have to stop and ask. And if you watch the video, the picture at the beginning that we had up, you'll see it ended with this picture, because I thought that was the sunset.
Before this.
It was the sunrise. Oh. Anything else?
No.
Would you go again?
Yes. Possibly.
Right, thank you, Steve. If he looks a bit dopey, well, I'll tell you, he finished work this morning at 7:00, and he really should be in bed. I think he's going to disappear off to bed shortly. Christine, come and talk to us. Stephen can't be here. Can we have the next set of pictures?
Yes, Stephen can't be here, so I will start by reading what he wrote for all of you. I was challenged by God's question to Moses, "What is in your hand?" And it was valuable also to rededicate all my gifts and abilities to God. So he had food for thought here. And what I enjoyed was, well, as you can see, painting. I did a bit of watercolor together with Imogen and Susan. It was brilliant to gather together in the lounge and do this while watching, hearing on the TV the message going on the main meeting. So it was very nice. And in the morning, first thing, we would go, Stephen, I, and first time Imogen joined us, for a jogging. There's a stretch and jogging. I remembered stretching. So stretching, yeah! No, mainly jogging. Oh! I was amongst the slowest, but I still went. I met with somebody. We encouraged each other, and we did it. Imogen and Stephen were amongst the fastest. So, but we ended up all together with a bit of stretching, and so it was a lovely time. And what I liked also is in the evening, we all gathered in one lounge, and we had a meal together cooked by one person or a group of person of the team, and it was just a lovely time together, chilling out, and just before the main meeting later in different places. And we went to some of the teaching. What did he put here? Oh yeah, also breakfast. We had sometimes people joining us for breakfast because we had scrambled eggs on toast and sometimes with salmon. So this attracted some people and we all enjoyed it. Well, we thought after the jogging, we deserved some refueling, serious ones. Don't you agree? And we also went to morning prayer meetings, which were very quiet and lovely and kind of guided prayer, but very gentle and nice for half an hour. And we went to one meeting which was about refugees. And one thing I remember that really shocked me and surprised me, and thing for the protection of the refugee, nobody is allowed to have them in their own home. They have to stay in the council homes or so that we can't enslave them involuntarily or so, or make them do things that this refugee don't deserve to become or to do. So I thought that was very interesting, because some people were asking, well, I have a spare room, I could offer it. And they said, sorry, you're not allowed. So it's a bit odd, but at the same time, we learn it's for the protection of all. So, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we'll just...
Yeah. Not that one. That was one picture that Stephen drew in the lounge. One day. Keith.
Okay, well, sorry, I've got no visual aids or anything, and I've only got a book full of notes, so try to be brief. In fact, I just made some notes to myself after the weekend. I guess I'd already been saying that I finished my job at the end of March. And I guess one of the things God has been saying to me is about taking a risk and doing something different. In fact, I was reminded of that when I went out on that photography thing with Steve and Dave. And the photograph I took was actually at the bottom of that climbing thing. And it was on a number of the activities. There was a little sign that said, do something different. And that was the thing that I took as a photograph of what the week was reminding me about and telling me about. I just wanted to say, I was just reminded that I have a God who loves me. And that song that we practice, or we at the beginning of the service, heard at the beginning of the service, is one that just struck me, that I'm a child of God, that there are all sorts of risks that I want to take in my life and need to take, and it's a time to do something different. But I can't do that on my own, and I'm grateful that I've got a God who's reminded me that he loves me. He's going to take care of me, and he does want me to take risks, even little tiny risks. I mean, one of the things I really enjoyed about, I went to the big worship meeting, whereas a lot of the others went to the alternative worship meeting. The problem with the alternative meeting is you have to talk to other people and expose your inner emotions in a conversation. And I find that very difficult, really. I don't know why I find it easier to stand up here and talk. But on a one-to-one, I find it really difficult. So the big meetings were fantastic for me. And it was even better that my daughter Imogen was next to me, and she was just worshipping so exuberantly at every single meeting. And it was just such a blessing to see my daughter coming on in that way. And just to reflect a bit, that actually, God loves it when his children are exuberant and enjoying and loving him. And so I need to show a bit more of that, and that's the challenge that has come to me through all of Spring Harvest and the teaching that we had. And the other thing, I was just reminded to start praying for my neighbours, and I have been praying for my neighbours, and now and again I do see them. And this morning, through various difficult things, I actually came out of my house at exactly the same time as my neighbours came out to go on their walk with their dog. Now, I hardly ever see them on a Sunday morning, but I've been praying for them, and this morning I saw them, and I actually went and talked to them. Amazing. So carry on praying for me and praying for my neighbours, that they might know something more of the good news of Jesus' love for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. I think that's it. Can I have the reading, please?
We're going to do something different today, because one of the words was everyone. So we're going to read together. Okay, big words, just mime, all right? Hopefully enough of us to carry on. So, from Exodus chapter 17 and verses 8 onwards, here's a story, one of the stories we looked at during the week. Together then, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim.
Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses ordered it, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But the moment he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it on the hill, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven."
Moses on the hillside, a mountaintop experience. Joshua in the valley, a valley experience. All working together to bring about God's purposes.
I think whenever you go to a big event like Spring Harvest, there's lots of people there. That's why it's a big event. And people come from all sorts of places. It's not just people from Baptist churches. It's people from all sorts of walks of life. And so you can imagine that things happen in very different ways. So there was just 14 of us, but I don't think there was anything that we all went to together. We all went to different things. Keith went to the big celebration. I went to the smaller celebration. And we did things in different ways. And one of the other things I went to was one of the sessions run by Prospects, which is the group that runs things and organises things for adults with learning disabilities. The group that Frank and myself and John are part of on a Thursday evening. The Thursday Fellowship belongs to the Prospects, is part of the Prospects. And I have to say, that was a really, really good session. A time of worship where those taking part have no inhibitions. They're just worshipping away. They might not be singing in tune. They might not be clapping on or off the beat. They might not be singing the right words, but they were worshipping. And there was just a sense of worship together. And they accepted me as part of the group. There was no, "Oh, you don't belong here." We were all there together to worship God. And I think for me, Spring Harvest again is about accepting one another. We are all children of God. We all have our different ways of doing things. We all have our different roles. We all have different gifts that God has given us. And as we worship him, we need to be accepting of one another, where one another are, and helping one another. And one of the stories we looked at was when Moses sent out the 12 spies into Canaan. Do you remember the story? 12 of them went into Canaan. 12 of them came back. They'd all seen the same things. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back saying, "This is fantastic. God is in this. We've seen all these wonderful fruits. We've seen all this. And the land is good. God's going to give it to us. God's with us." But 10 of them came back saying, "You know, we've seen all this stuff, but they're enormous. You know, there's no way we're going to be able to take the land. You know, we just can't do it." The trouble was, they were listening to the negative thoughts. They were listening to the wrong voice. The consequence was that the whole of the Israelites, including Joshua and Caleb, wandered around in the desert for 40 years. The voices I listened to
matter not just to me, they matter to you. The voices you listen to matter not just to you, they matter to me, because each of us needs to be listening to God and responding to God positively, because it matters to us as his people together. We don't want to be wandering around in the desert for 40 years.
James,
let's
you need to go backwards.
Thank you. Simon, come and talk to us from your point of view, if you can.
I'll try. So I've got a few notes. Sadly, perhaps not as much preparation I could have done, but I will give it a go anyway. I think I just wanted to kind of pick up, it's probably a little bit random, a few kind of random points from Spring Harvest, but I'll just kind of work through it, and hopefully it'll mean something to some of you at least. So I went to a talk, well, two talks actually, by a guy called Simon Gilbo, I think his name was. Gilbo, thank you. And he's quite incredible. Look, I guess the first thing that's interesting to note is, it's just a kind of aside, I only ended up going to his talks by accident. We'd taken Sophie back for her lunchtime nap. She was really tired. Obviously, it's very active when you're at Spring Harvest. And the kids were sharing a room, so they weren't sleeping very well. So she was exhausted. Took her back for her lunchtime nap, and she didn't sleep. So, okay, fine. So went off to the fairground, and then all of a sudden she's like, I'm really tired, I want to go to bed. So we had the pram with us, fortunately. So I put in the pram, and she just zonked out straight away, which is really unusual for her. She never usually does that. So I thought, well, she's sat in a pram asleep, I can't do anything, I might as well go to a talk. So I had a quick look at what was on, and went along to this one. A couple of the guys, I know Dave went as well. So it's really good that I wasn't even kind of, didn't even mean to go to it, but it was still really, really good. He's got a really incredible story. He works in Burundi, which pretty much comes bottom of all the league tables of countries like, you know, malnutrition, wealth, all these kind of education, all these type of elite tables, it's really, really low. So it's like a really, really challenging position for him to be in. And I'd recommend, so we've got, I don't know if this is going to be mentioned later, but we've actually got a USB stick with a lot of talks from Spring Harvest on it that I think we're going to share around the church. I'd recommend people, if his are on there, which I think they are, I'd recommend people listen to them because they're really, really good, like 2 one-hour talks. And despite the kind of the hard position he works in, they've seen kind of, he's literally hundreds of thousands of people come to know Christ, which is just like, it's just incredible. Like the work that they can do and they're able to do in that environment, despite the fact that people have so little. And he kind of talks about, you know, people have so little, and yet when he goes to see them, they'll cook a meal which might be like the equivalent of us giving a week's wages or whatever to somebody when they come round. Again, it just kind of puts things into context, I guess, in terms of like how much they're willing to give, despite the fact they have so little. There's two points I kind of picked out from his talk in particular. The first was to think about what your dream is. So I think it's all very, like, obviously we all want to see people come to know God, etc., etc., but I think it's that some of us will have particular things that we're really passionate about, whether it's the poor, whether it's people in our community, whatever it might be. And he made quite a good point, which kind of really challenged me as to what is the kind of, it's almost like if you think of a corporate strategy type thing, I hate to go all corporate on it, but it's like the vision, your corporate vision or whatever, your vision, what is it? And it's almost like start there at the top. So I think we all kind of get involved in stuff. We might help out here, we might help people there, we might pray for people here, which is absolutely great, don't get me wrong. But I guess he's kind of saying, try and think about things from the very top and then work from there in terms of the type of things we should be doing and the things we should be getting involved in. So that was one thing, is I guess try and reflect on that, kind of what you're really passionate about. And then the second thing is, which I'm sure we're all guilty of, I know I certainly am. One second. Okay, that's okay. You can put a new one with those pieces. And so the second thing was we shouldn't be restricted by our view. So it kind of comes back to Susan's point around the 12 people that went to scout out the Promised Land. 10 of them came back and were like, it's not possible, we can't do it. Of course, it was possible with God, they could do it, they could do whatever. So I guess it's My second point is we need to be restricted by what God can do rather than what we can do. And it's very difficult to do that. It's easier said than done, and I'm guilty of it all the time. But I guess we too often, we might have this dream and this vision of what we want to achieve, but we'll immediately, like, you know, if your dream was for everybody in Swindon to know God, you're immediately thinking, yeah, well, that's not going to happen, or I can't do that, or blah, blah, blah. There's a kind of thoughts that immediately come into your mind. So I guess it's trying our best to not be restricted by that and to be kind of restricted by what God can do. So that's kind of my takeaways from Spring Harvest. I guess two other points I'll quickly make. One is, go to Spring Harvest if you haven't been before. I'd never been before. I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. It was at Butlins. I wasn't sure what Butlins would be like, but actually it's pretty good. And it's just so much going on. And there's, like, from basically 9 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, there is stuff pretty much back to back all day. I really enjoyed it. I'm definitely planning to go again. And yeah, I just recommend you all to consider it as well. And there's a whole range of things going on. And then the other thing, I just, it's a kind of post-Spring Harvest thing, was we came back with Lucy and I, even though we'd stayed up way later than we normally would going to events. We hadn't slept very well because the kids hadn't slept very well. We were really, really tired when we got home. But we actually felt on the Monday, Lucy had the kids for the day. Well, Dana went to school, she had Sophie, and then I went to work. And normally, after the amount of sleep we'd had the previous 4 or 5 nights, we'd both be exhausted. But we actually both felt really refreshed. I got loads more done at work than I normally would. Lucy had a really productive day at home and had a really good time. And we just felt really, really refreshed. And it's just, A, it's great that we were able to feel that after going to Spring Harvest. It's obviously, like, really refreshing for us, despite, you know, we kind of think sleep equals I can do stuff, but actually it's not necessarily the case. So that was fantastic. But what was really interesting was, that evening, put the kids to bed as normal, and I won't say too much because they're here, and they hear everything, even if we don't think they do. But that was probably the most challenging evening with their behaviour we probably ever had. So they were both just awful, like, behaviour-wise, and it was really, really difficult. And it was could have easily, completely, like, we were. Because we'd come into that evening thinking, great, we're going to get loads done, we're going to really focus on stuff, we're going to really, like, be productive. And that was that hour and a half between about 7 and 8.30 risked absolutely ripping all that apart and putting us right back to where we were and completely, like, negating all the benefit we'd have from going to Spring Harvest. And I think the... 1 minute, I'll be there in a minute, I'm just talking to everybody. And sorry, I'm probably rambling a little bit.
Can I just not have my drink?
You can have your drink, it's okay. Lost my train of thought. So we had a, like, and I guess it's difficult to imagine, but, like, we've had kids for 5 years, we've had some very challenging days, but like I said, this was probably the worst. And we were, like, on the brink of just, like, arguing about stuff, like, as a couple, just, like, things going bad, and just kind of, it's very easy just to, in that situation, just to give up and just kind of, but I think it really felt like it was an attack by Satan. And so we really, like, unfortunately, we were almost on the precipice, and we kind of managed to pull it back together, and we were, like, talk to each other, and we're like, no, this definitely feels like Satan doesn't like us doing things like Spring Harvest. He doesn't like us spending time with God. Obviously, I can get close to him. So I guess my experience from that is we just really need to be aware of that, especially, like, if we are doing things and we are following God and thinking about what it is we want to do with God and not being restricted by him. Satan's absolutely, he will attack the most in those situations. He doesn't want us to get there. And so fortunately we were able to, like, we prayed about it. Things were much better. The kids have been great since then. And we, obviously you kind of get back to day-to-day life and life, you know, things just get in the way as they do with life. But I think, yeah, I guess it's just really interesting that we had our worst possible evening when we thought we were probably going to have one of our best possible. But we were, fortunately, I'm able to stand here and say, we managed to get through that, and like, we recognised what it was, and that we instead of tearing each other apart, we were able to kind of come together through, I guess.
Thank you, Simon. And this is a guy who said, I'm scared of standing. Or rather, actually, Lucy said he's scared of standing up.
if you ask me to talk about interest rate risk, I'll have to. Ask me to talk about God or anything like that, then.
We can do anything with Christ. Let's just pray for Simon and Lucy and the children. Father, we want to pray for Simon, Lucy, and Daniel and Sophie, especially since Lucy's not well at the moment. Pray your blessing on them. Pray your anointing on them. And as they've been vulnerable enough to share, the fact that sometimes things get difficult and stuff happens, pray that you'll give strength in those moments. Amen.
Amen.
I understand that 2 weeks ago you saw an introductory video from Weber about 40 days between Easter and Pentecost. Get there in a minute, brain slow. And last week you probably saw, those of you that were here, the first week. Hopefully, as long as it works. Okay, we'll make sure a link to that's available via the website or via the Facebook group later on, so you can have another look at it. Sue, how about you come and tell us stuff?
I don't intend to actually say a lot, certainly about Spring Harvest. I appreciate all that people have said today, and I can reiterate a lot of it. Except I was the only person in my chalet that didn't get up and go off for a run in the morning. But I did enjoy the piece. When I looked at the Spring Harvest programme before I went, I'd intended on not going to masses and masses of stuff. But when I looked, what did really inspire me was something about healthy, balanced living, which I really need to focus on again. And the little bit about it, the summary about it, said, in a world of ever-increasing technology, processed foods, transport and convenience products, we need to go against the tide to look after our bodies, minds and spirits, so that we're able to serve God effectively. Step back, take stock, and move forward stronger and healthier. And there were three sessions, motivation, eating and making it last. I won't go into things now because there's not a lot of time, but the lady that did it, Gaina van der Burton, I think she was called, she was so personable, so non-judgmental, just so real, really. She had her struggles with weight, but it wasn't really about weight. Losing weight is hopefully a byproduct of it. It was called Fit Fish, and I've got a Fit Fish T-shirts, it was really cheap, and I needed one, and also a water bottle. And basically they run retreats, but they also do run programs that you can subscribe to. And she talked about a plate of plenty, and basically it's looking at your lifestyle but focusing on eating healthily. It's nothing new in a way, but I think it's something for certainly myself and probably a lot of Christians to be thinking about it. Really, and her basic thing was 80% of the time eat off of God's plate, natural foods, 20% of the time processed food. You know, don't think that food is banned, because that's failure. Diets don't work. It needs to be something you can maintain, but it's not just about weight, it's about being healthy. And I took quite a lot away from that, and she also talked about it, seeking God in it, moving. I'm going to be sort of giving it a go to try and get myself back on track again, and I know someone else is as well. They've got a Facebook page and online thing just called Fit Fish. And I'll just read you one more thing, really. I found it inspiring, challenging and motivating. Maybe it's because where I am at the moment, but there was such an emphasis on freedom and not being trapped. by what we eat and how we live. Eating healthily, moving for health, not judgmental at all. Weight loss may be a byproduct, but was not the focus. And from what she said, it seemed so achievable. And I was really quite challenged by the 80% God's plate. And I've bought some refreshments because this is actually going to be my last official Sunday here. So I've bought some things for refreshment at the end, which actually don't follow that 80% 20% thing. In fact, it's probably the opposite. But she also talked about a rainbow of food. So that's something I'd heard about before. So as well as other refreshments, I've kind of attempted to do a rainbow of fruit. So please enjoy, because what's not eaten will go into my blender. But actually, it's a really good visual aid that so much unhealthy stuff actually it doesn't really have any colour at all, or is brown. I remember going to Chinese experience place with my nephew one time, and I looked at his plate next to mine, and I had a lot of salad on mine, and I looked at it and I said, that looks very brown. But, you know, God has given us so much. So, anyway, enjoy. If you want to find out any more, either go online or ask me. I will say one more thing about Spring Harvest. And in a way, I'm glad he's not here. One highlight for Spring Harvest, for me, was being given a number 5. And it was Daniel. The last evening after we'd eaten, Lucy was scouring around for a piece of paper, and we all had stuff with stuff on the back because that's all we had there, because he wanted to do a picture for everyone. And he went over into the corner and he divided his paper into 8, and he didn't, not quite everybody got, but it didn't actually matter. He came round very purposefully, very randomly, but purposefully, giving each of us a piece of paper with a picture, which was a number. We decided there wasn't anything about the numbers, apart from the person who had number 1, and I can't remember who that was. But to me...
By the day?
Maybe, yes. Thank you, Maury. But to me, it spoke of the time that we'd spent together, because bless that little child, there is no way he would have done that at the beginning of our time together, or would normally. And the value of spending time together, you know, can't be measured. I treasure that because of, you know, what it meant for that child to do that. And I'm from the graph. Yeah, so please do ask if you want to know any more about that. Okay. Hopefully this won't take too long. I'm just going to read out a little bit about the fact that it's my last official Sunday here, although I'm not disappearing from the planet. So I thought I'd actually get my thoughts together. So I typed this out last night, so I know you've had a lot to listen to, but hopefully, if you want to go to sleep, that's fine. It was good for me to do it. My call to Dorking Church. I know I did share a little in a service some time ago, which I hadn't planned to do, but no, God prompted me to. So sorry if a lot of this is repetitive. Close on 2 years ago now, I sensed God saying, I want you to be more involved in your community. I had a real sense of that particularly and went out and about with the dog. I'm not naturally quick to act on anything and felt I needed and wanted to check this out to make sure it was really God who was saying this. I can't say I had writing on the wall or a burning bush. But this sense of call grew, and I remember seeing a small shop chain called Nisa Local, N-I-S-A Local, advert on TV and a lorry several times, and it kept coming into my Nisa Local, Nisa. At this point I thought, this is going too far. Is this you, God, or am I going mad? Soon after this, one day walking the dog again, it was a mothering Sunday actually, and I'd chosen to take the dog up for a walk because I struggled with that day. On the Sunday morning, and I sent to God saying, I want to birth something new in you. I'm not clear on what this really means, but it has stuck, and I do believe the move is part of this. Though I'd been to my local church, St Paul's in Dorking, for a number of Christmas Eve midnight masses since I'd lived in Covenant, I'd never been to a Sunday service. I did know and had spasmodic contact with a couple I knew well from Gorse Hill Baptist Church. When Lorne decided on taking part in the combined service for an old time festival last year, it seemed a good opportunity for me to attend organ. Not long after, when meeting with a friend to pray, something she said prompted me to share what I felt God was saying. The response was something like, "I'm not surprised." I had a similar response when shared with another friend I was praying with. About a month later, I went to another service there and met someone I used to work with who also lives in Covenham. We chatted, and Nikki said, "I sensed God telling me to be involved more locally." Her elderly parents were also moving into the area and would need somewhere that they could walk to. We walked across the park afterwards, quite open mouthed, and this was quite good confirmation for both of us. Whilst on holiday in Lee Abbey last August, I spent some time sharing with the pastoral helpers. I had and have concerns regarding some of the practices and traditions, as I've been involved in Baptist churches and free churches for many years. As many of you are aware, I do play at Hun Hill, which though has links with many denominations, is CLE based. It was encouraging and confirming to hear these pastoral helpers say that the issues I'd raised had been, are being, and will be discussed at all sorts of levels for a long time to come. They also stated that from what I'd said about my journey, unless I was hiding something, which they had no basis to believe I was, that it was a long time since they'd heard such a valid reason for moving churches. It was time to share with people in Lorne. And I knew I needed to talk to the elders and my fellow deacons first. With the summer holidays and having relatives over from the States and being a really busy time for a lot of people, it took a while for circumstances to be right to do this. I must admit, I did have concerns about sharing with people, particularly because Lorne Community Church had been and still is in the midst of seeking God's leading in the way forward. And I didn't want anyone to think I was just going. However, I've been encouraged on the whole by the positive response I've had, so thank you. As many of you are aware, I've been doing a course called Exploring Christianity since September. It's run by the Diocese of Bristol and covers 6 modules over 2 years. As I said before, I don't act naturally quite quickly on anything, but found out about this in August and started in September. Quite a record. I know God wants me to be doing the course, as for one thing, I'm far too lazy to be doing it for the sake of it. So far, I've been involved in the Christmas and Easter schools work with Dorking Church, and will be doing some of the safeguarding. It seems sensible to me to have a period of transition last term and make the move after spring harvest. So here I am. Though I wasn't looking for any reassurances as the decision had been made, spring harvest only confirmed the call. With the theme of game changers, as you've already heard, there were questions raised like, do I need to change the game? And am I willing to change the game? There were also references to rediscovering the local church and about community engagement. Something else that spoke to me was being challenged to think about where is the voice of God in our situations and, as you've already heard this morning, whose voice are we listening to? And I'm sure that's a specific word for Lorne Community Church at this time. In conclusion, you'll be glad to hear, I believe at this time I'm listening to God's voice. It's not easy to leave Lorne, and I do want to keep some contact with you. You will remain in my prayers. I have learnt so much being here, have been involved at a deeper level, and been challenged and taken out of my comfort zone, particularly to be in more of an upfront role. So thank you for the push and the opportunities. In some ways, moving is no big deal. We're all part of the wider family of God, but I will miss you. I do have concerns and there will be challenges. But as God reminded me yesterday, I've spied out the land at Dorking a little. And just like the Israelite spies that we've heard a lot about this morning, I can focus on my concerns and perceived challenges or choose to look for the positives and the opportunities. As I wrote down these thoughts last night, God led me to the verse given to me at my baptism many years ago. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, very well known words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That is my prayer for us all. Thank you.
So we're going to pray for you before, as a sort of sending you out to Dorker. Think of it as a missionary. Have a seat.
I'm glad it's not a stone.
Well, what I'm going to ask a few people to do is kind of just stand around her, and as Aaron and her held up Moses' hand while he was praying for the battle in the valley below, just hold up Sue's hands so that she doesn't get tired as we pray for her. So one or two people, three or four people.
Yes. I must come. That verse has been in my heart for you for ages. Let's hold your hand up.
Father, as Sue has shared with us about being called by you to serve in the area in which she lives, by worshipping in that area, we pray your blessing on her now.
Yes.
And meet her with the wisdom and the knowledge of you that she needs. Be with her and strengthen her, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father, something that I will miss is Sue's play coming in. It touches my heart, Lord. But Lord, I know that this is right for her. So I pray and I know that you will go with her. And I ask you, Father, to keep her focused on you. Only you. Nothing else. And particularly if she starts a new life in Dorking Church, I pray that she would just be perhaps silent at times so that she can still hear your voice. Sometimes it's so easy to go to a new place and to rush into so many things, but I pray that you would be with Sue and help her to be silent before you so that she can hear your voice clearly. Thank you for her.
And I shall miss her because I've known her a long time. She is a friend that is wonderful. So thank you, Lord, for the friends that are good to us. And we ask that Sue might be able to make new friends quite quickly so that she will feel at home. Amen.
Father, I thank you for Sue and for all of her encouragement she's given us, and I love her some smiles and just being there for us. And I pray, Lord, that as she leaves here, she can know we are safe in your hands, in your care,
yes.
And she can let that concerns rest with you in the reshaping of this church, and to be able to bless her as she goes and moves on to a new church, to new things, and continue to take her music playing as a blessing, a channel of blessing to other people, to people at Har Hill, and wherever she uses it in the future in the new church, teaching people privately, one-to-one, however, but may that be such a blessing from this day onwards.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, so we pray that God's blessing on you and your home, that as people come into your home, they will come into his presence, that your home and you will be known as the place of peace, that you'll be the person of peace in your road, in your street, and that you will be like a magnet to other people. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And so, having prayed for Sue, let's bring our intercessions to the Lord. Risen Lord Jesus, we thank you for this springtime. We thank you for the sunshine this morning and all the good things that we experience at this time of year. We thank you for new life, for hope, for warmth, and for the expectancy that arises in our hearts. And so as we come to you with our prayers, we know that you can bring light into dark places and even life from death. And so as we bring our prayers, as I say, your kingdom come, can you respond saying, your will be done. Oh Jesus, we thank you for Imogen and her story of enjoying spring harvest, and we pray particularly about her house and her concerns for that. Pray that those issues may be resolved and she may be certain of a good place to live next year. May your kingdom come, your will be done. In this week, we thank you especially for our Queen and her family and all they have done, and all that she means within this country and within this world. And we pray for all the celebrations, we pray for safety, we pray for wisdom, we pray for fun, and Lord, we pray above all that you will bless her and bless this country. May your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray too for our country as we consider the elections in May, and all the questions we have around those and the decisions each of us has to make as individuals. And we pray too for the whole political situation as we consider whether we remain in the EU or leave it. We pray for each of us as individuals as we weigh up the conclusions and all the different views that are being given. And we pray for honesty and truth in the publicity that arises for that. May your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray for our world, so many different issues on our television screens, but particularly today, we pray for those places that have experienced earthquakes, for Japan and Ecuador, and for those on the rescue side of things, and those who are grieving the loss of loved ones and the loss of their homes. May your kingdom come. Lord, as we look around the world at the massive crisis with refugees that Christine's already mentioned, we pray for wisdom. We pray for relief for them. And we pray for a worldwide solution. The problem seems so enormous, Lord, but we know that you have the answers. May your kingdom come. Your will be done. And Lord, for us as a church, as we continue to think about the future and to develop the vision we believe that you are giving to us, we pray that your kingdom may come. Your will be done. I really enjoyed being at Spring Harvest, as obviously lots of other people did that you've already heard from this morning. And one of the things that, I suppose there was quite a lot I was struck by, but I love being part of a bigger picture, but they were actually talking about the importance of being part of a bigger picture, of going to something regularly that was bigger than what you were involved in, that we could be part of something and know, as we came back to our churches, what God was doing elsewhere that we could share with our brothers and sisters, and about the importance of being interconnected with other churches that were around, because working together we could have more impact in the way that we developed the gospel. Malcolm Duncan and Anne Calvin very intriguingly worked a double act each morning for the Bible studies as they shared each teaching session, each preach really between them, batting it backwards and forwards. And that was really very interesting. And as we came to the end of the week, they were talking too about the fact that next year the whole theme is going to be about unity. And that actually every major Christian festival across England is going to be based around the same subject, which I find is quite amazing, that actually they've already worked that out, and that that will be a major theme. Like some of the others who've already spoken, I think the message that struck me most was the one about the spies going into the Promised Land. And actually, the 12 spies went in, as has already been said, they all saw the same thing. But actually, when they came out, they had different interpretations of what the real situation was and what could be done. And this whole question about, well, what voice are you listening to? I was stuck, as I've still been stuck today, with a voice that's not working very well. And so in the worship at the end, I just had to stand quiet and let it kind of wash over me. And as I was stood there, I had a picture. I had a picture of a cardboard box about this size, except it wasn't written all over. It was plain white. Steve thought I might need a bigger one to act as a visual aid, so he made me a bigger one. But what I saw was smaller than this. But like this, it was flimsy, it was fragile, didn't have anything very much to mark it out. I said to God, what's this box? And I had the sense that it was us, that it was Lawn Community Church. And as I stood and looked at this box, I wish I could do it on the visual thing, on the projector or whatever, but I can't. This box exploded in all directions and actually became an enormous Perspex cube, about the size of a small room. Only somehow, although it was Perspex, people were coming and going, the sides were permeable and you could walk in and out of it. And the sense somehow that God wants to do something so much bigger than we have dreamed, that actually this was open to the elements, it was interactive with people from further afield and wider apart, and I don't understand all the implications. But I just know that I saw this box, this little tiny box, become something that was so much bigger and so much more exciting in many ways. We have a big God, and I wonder what his plans for us are.
Thank you, Anne. One of the difficulties when you lead a service like this with lots of people contributing is that it's very hard to fit everything in, and time runs away. Keith has already spoken about being a child of God, and the words that were echoing through my mind a lot of Spring Harvest was, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. One of the things that I found difficult was the session that Simon referred to on radical living, when we were asked, what is your dream? What's your vision? What's your longing? That's a question I just want to echo back to each of us this morning. What is your dream? What is your longing? What is it that God wants to do in us so that he can do through us? And you don't need to voice your answers now, but maybe over coffee later, maybe in a couple of weeks' time. Think about it. Talk about it to others. Keith said he finds it difficult to talk to others about personal things. He's not the only one. I know there's at least me and probably a few others too out there that find that difficult. So don't rush, but don't forget to do it. If Moses hadn't encountered God at the burning bush, he could well have spent 40 years, the last 40 years of his life, wandering about the Sinai desert with his father-in-law's sheep. but he did meet with God. And instead of sheep, he brought a whole nation, maybe 2 million people, out of slavery, out of bondage, through that same wilderness, to the edge of the land that God had promised them. Through their disobedience, through their lack of faith, through them listening to the wrong voices, they stayed there for 40 years. But Moses changed the game for them. No longer were they making bricks without straw. They were learning to be the people of God. What's your dream? Moses was 80, and it's quite obvious, therefore, that 80 is not too old. Simon was talking about things that Daniel and Sophie had heard. Youth is not an excuse, nor is lack of experience, past history, whether it's good or bad, gender, size. God says, come and join the adventure. Be a game changer. Standing, and we're going to share together in a final response. Can we bring the words up? If you'd like to join in the words, in the big bold letters at the bottom. From where we are to where you need us,
Jesus, may I be gone.
From the security of what we know to the adventure of what you will reveal,
Jesus, may I be gone.
To refashion the fabric of this world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom,
Jesus, now be done.
Because good things have been prepared for those who love God.
Jesus, now be done.
Amen.
Amen.